Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, you know what time it is. It's time for the Hilltop Radio Show with DJ Sean and the Hilltop All-Star. Good, act like you know. Let's get it. Let's get it.
Take your watch like it's Gucci time. DJ Sean got it jumping when the clock strikes 9. Yeah, with them all stars by his side, cutting up and getting loose, that's just how they ride. Guaranteed to have the hottest talent industry wide. If you say that we ain't brainy, use a goddamn lie. All you gotta do is tune in and see how we rock, with interviews, hottest tunes, breaking music nonstop. Our connect game got long strings, we touching the world. Africa, China, Japan, did I say we touching the world? 8 million strong following this all-star team. Give it raw and uncut, DJ Sean, cut so clean.
We're coming in hot from East to West, ain't gotta try to shine, cause we the best, never stress, just fun, enjoy the show, with DJ Sean, got that hustle in that flow, cooling on down, from north to south, in grind mode, we chill, no doubt, climbing up this mountain, welcome to the hilltop, enjoy the view, worldwide, non-stop, asking all the questions, exclusive interviews, tune on in, got no time to lose, loosen on up, shaking all them haters off, already told you that we don't stop.
You ain't gotta ask what it is, cause no one can do it better. Tell get on our level, whatever, in every era. Quite clever, feel pressure, no error. Be aggressive, pain and pleasure, no exceptions. Not ever, no ever. Tell the songs I get in every DJ Sean, they bluffing. These haters that never touch them, you can hate it or love it. We thugging and get the busting, no discussing. Quick ass, spot the hilltop, the rest the dead ass. Ties with fake guys and lies, trying to be us. Copy the blueprint.
Player, you're not
never was or could be like DJ Sean. Set me, told me to cheer, no, I'm dropping the bomb. Sing along my swarm like killer bees on enemies. No frenemies, give me only queens and OGs.
I'm a boss.
Adjust me a El Capitan, where it's born. Lock it in when the hilltop is on. The parasites, the clones, the rich, no to the bone. Old squad on some hill ship, more cold than stone. Selling the competition, you about to bet. Winning to the greatest in the business. So settle down, and then.
Yeah, Hilltop Radio Show. Believe half what you hear and all of what you see, you heard? DJ Sean always plays the music that I like. Always play the music that I like. DJ Sean always plays the music that I like. Always play the music that I like. Yeah!
All right, welcome, welcome, welcome. It is Monday right here on the Hilltop Radio Show. It's your boy DJ Sean, and I want to thank everybody that's listening, everybody that's tuned in, and everybody that's been tuned in. Thank you for listening to another hot, exciting night right here on the Hilltop Radio Show. Again, right now, they're popping in right now, listening, looking at the globe. We got a lot of people that are popping in and tuning into the show. Right now, I got my tag team partner on with me tonight, the one and only Mr. Money Mike. What's up, man? How you feeling tonight, bro?
Oh, what's good? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Ready for another exciting show.
All right, all right. And Miss Baldy, welcome to the show. How are you tonight?
Thank you. I'm great. How are y'all doing?
We're doing good, doing good.
What's up, brother?
What's up? What's up? Y'all funny. Y'all are funny. It's Monday. It's not Thursday. It's Monday, y'all. Y'all can't be dragging. It is Monday. And we got a hot artist on tonight, Mr. Alvin Garrett. And I'm going to be calling him into the show because y'all know T-Mobile's been bugging with us sometimes with, you know, some of the guests that come on the show. But before we get started, Money Mike, let everybody know where they can follow you at on social media.
Definitely,
get that out the way.
You can follow me on all social media sites at It's UNG Music. That's ITSUNGMUSIC. Always here on the Hilltop Radio Show with DJ Sean, the Hilltop All-Stars, or the website at newungmusic.com.
All right. Miss Sandy, a.k.a. Miss Baldy, let them know where they can follow you at.
You can follow me on Facebook at Sandy, S-A-N-D-E-Y, Green, G-R-E-E-N-E. And my alopecia page is Don't Stare, Just Ask, hashtag alopecia. My Instagram account is fearless_woman68. And, of course, the Hilltop Radio Show. What you laughing for?
Because she said my Instagram account is just Instagram.
I said Instagram.
No, you said Instagram account.
Oh, well, my Instagram.
That's that white letter, y'all.
Don't let him
start
tonight. Please don't let him start tonight. I need your help.
Don't fall for it, buddy. Mike, don't fall for that.
See, Mike, you did a good job earlier this morning.
You're so cute singing. I just got to, I'm trying not to fall for it at the same time. You just so cute and beautiful and all of it.
Wait a minute, let me send you a picture of me. Wait a minute, let me put a picture of me in our group.
Oh, Lord, don't fall for the banana in the tailpipe.
Here you go. Sam, you ain't got to send me a picture. I got a vision and you locked in my head. Just the way I want you.
As long as it's not in a Tahoe.
Damn.
No.
Let me send you a picture because.
All right, let's see if the man of the hour is available. Hold on, let's call him right now. She said, don't get the towel.
Get my computer, look at.
Hello? Let's see here. Let me play a song, you guys, and let me call him on my phone and see what's going on. Let me play a song. We'll be right back here on the Hilltop Radio Show, y'all. How about the latest from Alex Isley, Ronnie Isley's niece, and this is her cover, Paradise. We'll be right back.
Love you.
All right, welcome back. Excuse me. Welcome back to the Hilltop Radio Show. That's the latest from Alex Isley. That's Paradise right here on the Hilltop Radio Show. Now we working. We got the man of the hour, as they say, the man of the hour, too sweet to be sour, Mr. Alvin Garrett. My brother, welcome to the show, man. How you feeling tonight?
Man, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. How about you?
Feeling good, man. I heard a lot about you. Your music came across my desk, and you know, shouts out to Chris Cunningham. She be doing her job out there in Georgia, Atlanta, and be bringing me some good music, man. And I said, man, I got to get this brother on the show, and here you are, man. Thank you for taking time out of your schedule, you know, and joining us here on the Hilltop Radio Show, man, along with myself, Money Mike, and Miss Baldy is in the house as well.
All right.
Hello, how
are
you?
We're going to have a good time.
I'm doing great.
You know, we always have a good time here on the Hilltop, man. This show is not like no other, man. We're going to get you out of your comfort zone. We're going to have fun. We're going to learn all that we can. You allow us to learn about you, Mr. Alvin. And before we get in,
yes,
everything going on, man, who is Mr. Alvin Garrett, man? Who is that guy?
Well, man, I got to start. I got to go to the roots. You know what I'm saying? I am from Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Roll Tide. Roll Tide, baby, Roll Tide. I'm a Southern boy, full of Southern charm, and I'm not ashamed of it. I'm a preacher's kid and a coal miner's kid. You know, I like to tell people that my dad worked in the coal mine. You know what I'm saying? So I got a little bit of grit in me. You know what I mean?
All right.
Growing up in church, man, picked up a bass guitar, and that led me on a path to loving music, playing music, becoming a producer, songwriter. Graduated from college with a business degree, worked in corporate America a few years, jumping out, leaping out on faith. And here I am, 20-plus years later, Grammy-nominated, songwriter, artist. Just been on that journey, man, all the way back to Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
Wow. Coal miner's son. I haven't heard that. That's a first. That's a first. You're first ever here on, and I've been doing this show since 2010, man. So we know the coal miner's daughter, but now we got the coal miner's son. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Absolutely,
and,
man. Hey, I'm
and
proud of
you. You know, you said the right thing, you know, Tuscaloosa, you know, Tide, man. You know, before we get in, man, what do you think about, you know, the baddest coach in college? You know, leaving, you know, Alabama, man, and, you know, what do you think about that, man?
You know, I respect it, man, because, you know, this NIL move with the gambling and the professional college athletes, you know, that's a paradigm shift, man. That's just the game changed too much. And, you know, I respect that he decided to say, you know, I'm going to hang my hat because there's no way for me to be myself in this era. And he can't. You know, there's no point of him changing, trying to evolve to negotiating with amateurs. You know what I'm saying? Like, you either go play for the legacy and the love of the game to win championships. And he knew it was too big of a shift. So I respect that he's like, you know, let me go out on my own terms as opposed to being a part of this shift. Let somebody else have it. So I respect it.
Yeah, I respect that too, man. That's, you know, I've been refereeing college sports, football and basketball since 1991, man, and I've seen the change once players started complaining about the game systems, you know, back in the day, you know, how schools were making millions and millions of dollars off PlayStation and Sega Genesis, you know, on college, you know, on the college sports side and, you know, not giving the players, you know, nothing out of it. I knew one day it was going to come to where college was going to have to figure out something in getting these student athletes the money and stuff, because they're making millions and millions of dollars off bowl games and stuff, you know, and they're going to the universities and stuff like that. So this here is, you know, that's another story for another day, man. We have to bring you back on the sports night and, you know, and talk about it.
But you know what's weird, though? But you know what, though? I'm a college athlete. I played college football. See what I'm saying?
Wow,
so
okay.
I'm intimately aware of the benefits of just a good college scholarship and education. You know what I mean?
Yes,
I'm telling
sir.
My age.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
But I graduated debt-free, and I don't regret it at all. You know what I mean? And no, I wasn't a star quarterback at a major SEC college, but there's so many thousands and thousands of other players like me who, you know, you're talking a couple of $100,000 worth of free education. You see what
right.
I mean? That you,
right.
you know, how many people are going to get that education now because you're bouncing? And so one
Amen.
Thing I'm firmly a believer in is that the education you take from your college experience is more important than the paper. You feel what I'm saying? Because they can't
yeah,
take your education. They can't take the knowledge. And if you're bouncing from school to school to school, how are you going to have a continuum of knowledge? You know what I mean? But that's just my opinion.
Got that right, man.
I know that's another. That's just.
Yeah. Hey, me and you are in the same boat on that one. You know, I played college football, too, and I know exactly what you're talking about. Back in them days, we couldn't transfer. Man, you had to sit out. And then you luckily, if you transferred, you got a starting position. You know what I'm saying? So I understand what you're saying, but I'm gonna pass the microphone to Miss Baldy. I'm gonna let her start off the questions for the night. Go ahead, Miss Baldy. Since I took over your show Tuesday night, I'm gonna let you go ahead and get your shine on tonight.
Anyway, again, War Eagle, you're like 45 minutes away from me.
Oh.
I live in Birmingham.
Don't
yeah.
start with me tonight. Oh, my.
Yeah. I'm
y'all should have warned me.
See, I told you Roll Tide because I was trying to be respectful. But now you in here, I'm going on to say War Eagle.
Could be a long night. It's going to be a long night.
Well, we know you ain't coming back again.
Look, you can only be War Eagle or Roll Tide here, right?
That's right. Pick a side.
That's good. I can't wait to hear your music. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, man. Hey, I got that Southern grit in my music. You know what I mean? I got that R&B, gospel, soul all blended in there together, man. It's in the water, man. It's in that water.
I already done pulled you up on YouTube. I got you.
Oh, Lord. Money Mike, anything you want to ask this brother?
Hey, man, I'm checking out your vibe, your positivity, hearing your story. And as I was pointed out in life, talking about my elders, I sense that you're a person of good character. So I'm ready to hear how that character transitions over into music.
Oh, absolutely, man. Absolutely. And that's something I stand for, you know, and being in the music industry for as long as I have, you know, let's say you're swimming with the sharks, you know, you find out real quick you're either the predator or the prey. But I can say that I've been able to, you know, swim in those shark-filled waters and still stand for who I am and remain positive and not sell out, you know, and still be successful. But it took some ingenuity and some faith and resilience to get to a place where I'm like, hey, we can spend all night. You know, I got 4 or 5 hours worth of great music, and you'll see that theme and say, okay, I see what he stands for. And he's been in it. He stayed here, and I'm still growing. And that's the beautiful thing, is I'm still growing. I'm not out the game. I'm not done. And so that's what I'm excited to talk about and share with everybody tonight.
So Alvin, you said one key thing, you know, understanding the game, understanding, you know, sharks. You know, if you you know, it seemed like you're a Nemo, Finding Nemo, you know what I mean? You went through the water and, you know, the sharks didn't get you, you know, to find your way to where you at today, man. You know, explain, because we have a lot of artists, man, that get discouraged because of the sharks that are out there and they allow themselves to get bitten by the sharks or eaten alive by the sharks. Explain your journey in not allowing the sharks to, you know, to attack you, attack your character, attack your, you know, your ability to perform as a talented artist that you are.
I'm the shark. I'm sorry. I forgot. I'm the shark. I'm not the Nemo.
All right. Okay.
The shark didn't eat me because I'm the shark.
All right. Well, okay. Let me elaborate.
Well, yeah, we said Nemo. Like, no. Let me get that cleared up. I'm the shark. Well, I'll go back to, you know, what I decided to study in college. You know, I said, you know, being a musician, like, what good is it for me to study music? I can already play. You know, I was kicking ass on the bass. You know, everybody wanted me. So I want to learn business. I want to be able to run business one day and be the boss. And so, you know, I'm honestly the first college graduate in my family, you know, certainly my immediate family. And I said, I want to get the knowledge of how to run business, understand economics, so I can't be taken advantage of. And one of the things that always kept me at odds with the local promoters, the local club owners, is that they couldn't outthink me. You see what I'm saying? I'm like, I don't need you. I'm like, why are you going to pay me $400? I can earn $4,000 by investing $500 in a venue and promote my own concert. This is pre-social media. You understand
exactly,
what I'm saying?
So exactly. I'm like, yes, sir.
You're not gonna tell me I got to pay my dues when the people coming to see me and my product. So I was the competition. So I'm swimming with the sharks as a shark, and they didn't like that. It's like, no, young blood, you got to pay your dues. I'm like, no, I got to pay my bills. So I'm not gonna give you my value. And most people are afraid to invest in themselves so that they can be the shark in their own water. And so that's where I feel my advantage has been, is that I've always been able to leverage myself to make my own decisions, to say yes to good decisions and no to bad ones. And so that gives you more power as an independent artist. Doesn't mean, or independent business owner, I'll say it like that. You know, maybe it doesn't lead to it. Fast success or fast fame, but you can get fast flame as well.
know? Well, you preaching tonight. Somebody get that collection played out. This brother's getting it in tonight.
Get it. Send it down. That's
right. He's getting it in tonight. Right, this is Alvin Garrett right here, our special guest right here on the Hilltop Radio Show. Again, Alvin, man, thank you for allowing us to, you know, get to know you on a personal and business side of your, you know, of your journey, music journey. And you still, you know, still a journey for you. And also just your presence here means a lot to us on the show, man, because you're allowing us to, you know, to get to know who you are and better ourselves with artists such as your talent and caliber. So, again, thank you. Yeah.
Well, hey, I'm honored to be here, man. Absolutely.
Alvin, let everybody know where they can follow you at on social media, man. So they can follow your music, they can follow, you know, your webpage, you know, just be a fan of yourself. Let them know where they can go and do that at.
Well, you can catch me at The Alvin Garrett, not That Alvin Garrett, The Alvin Garrett. TheAlvinGarrett on all your social media platforms, or you can go to alvingarrett.com or go to your streaming platforms and look up Alvin Garrett. And matter of fact, crack you, you know, open a bottle of wine or whiskey and just let the music hit you. You know what I'm saying? And some good smooth R&B. You know what I'm saying? I like to call it inspirational soul. And there's a lot of artists that people may not even know I've written for that they may love, like Joe, Fantasia, Kelly Rowland. So, you know, I got a lot of hidden treasures out there just as a writer, in addition to the music I made as an artist.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. Fantasia. Well, working with Fantasia, man, how was it working with Fantasia? Because I heard she's very humble as an artist. Very, very humble.
You know, interesting enough, the song that I wrote that she sang on, she was a feature with the artist Joe. I didn't actually get a chance to be in the studio with her. I wrote the song, demoed it out, and they recorded it on their own, which is where a lot of songs are recorded these days.
Right,
so I didn't even get a chance to actually meet her. The song was called Love and Sex, and it was featured on Joe's album called Double Back R&B back in 2012. And so that was a cool record, and it was remixed with Kelly Rowland and Joe. We won a Soul Train Award for Best R&B Performance for that record. And so never got a chance to work with her. Actually, never worked hand-in-hand with Joe. And the way I produce my music, you know, is I lay it out in a way that the artist can really, really capture what I want, whether I can get in with them or not. And, of course, back then, I didn't quite have the leverage that I have now because I got credentials, so people want me in the studio now. You know, but I had to earn that.
Right.
He can produce vocals, you know. So I'm, you know, at the place now where people will bring me in. But as a younger artist or writer, it was send us the demos. We'll cut it, you know.
You know, coming up, man, as a young kid, you know, coal miner's son, church, you know, where you got your, you know, your ability to sing and perform in front of people on Sundays. You know, you said the bass was what you played. How was the transition from church to R&B? How was that transition for you?
Well, for me, it wasn't really a transition at all, because my dad and my mom, you know, they demonstrated love, you know what I mean, and love to each other. they've been married 48 years. My dad was a hopeless romantic. I mean, you know, he loved on her in front of us. I mean, it really is storybook, you know, black love, I mean, to be honest with you. And but that love, they gave credit to God. And so it wasn't a religious upbringing like you hear about in the religious South with the, you know, all of the denominations. It was more about hope, love, and faith and just those more liberating concepts of Christianity that I was raised in. So when I started singing R&B, it was encouraged by my father. You know what I mean? My parents.
Oh, wow.
Like,
okay.
Hey, sing about love. You know, use your gifts. Give God the glory in however way you decide to do it. And they're my biggest fans. They come to my shows. So there was never this rub against my salvation or nothing like that. It was, you're singing about love. You know, you're singing words that actually have a lot of gospel built into it. You know what I'm saying? So who I am as a man should be present in whatever I touch. You know what I'm saying? And so, for me, it wasn't I'm about to make a big switch. No, I'm just going to be me. And I write gospel music, too. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I have a couple of number ones of gospel. So I write from the heart. You know what I mean? And so I have my convictions and things I'm not going to sing. And I'm never going to call a woman a B. I'm never going to kill nobody in a song to get a check. I have my boundaries. You know what I mean? And so I tap out when the music requires me to cross the boundaries of who I am. I just won't do it.
I want to ask you this, Alvin. We had Melvin Riley on last week, and one of the things that he mentioned with his music is that we're lost, and you just hit what we were talking about, and I'm gonna bring it up. The love in music has gone, and it takes artists such as you and Melvin, and you know, I talked to a good friend of mine, the Daz Band, you know, and John B. You know, you guys are bringing that love making, that love of, you know, I love you style music back that's been missing since the 80s. And your opinion, you think that's what's missing in the households between a man and a woman?
You know, absolutely. You know, sometimes when you have those kind of conversations, you start thinking, was it the chicken or the egg? You know, which one came first? was it did the society degrade or did music degrade society? You know, it's a tough mm-hmm. debate. But I'm on the side of, you know, the pioneers of great music who sang about, you know, love and who sang about what their vision was for society, you know, old soul, Sam Cooke, you know, I mean, we could just go through our history up until I think R&B was kidnapped, you know,
mm-hmm.
I believe R&B was kidnapped at some point where people stopped singing, you know, to women and singing at them or stopped singing about, you know, the hope of black excellence, you know what I'm saying? Or,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we could dig deep into my theories of why that happened. But I do believe that there's a responsibility to still stand behind it and uplift it, because you can't assume people don't want it. You've just been told they don't want it. So you believe mm-hmm. they don't want it, so you don't do it. And people starve for it, and they can't find it. You know what I mean? Until you put it out there. And I'm just one of those artists like, hey, this is what I'm going to do. I believe in it. And I meet so many people who are so refreshed by my music because they want it, you know.
And we want it, and we want artists such as you to continue on bringing us music like that. And I'm not saying there's nothing wrong. Well, yeah, it is a lot wrong with today's music because, you know, I'm an old school dude, and I still want to cater the way that a woman wants to be catered to, not, you know, like as you said, called a bee and not disrespected. You know, women today, they still want to be catered. They still want to be called beautiful. They still want to be called, you know, sweetheart. They still want to, you know, want to come home to flowers, want to come home to, you know, a nice fine dinner, or going out to a, you know, to a dinner or a movie and stuff like that. That's what women want. And when you have artists such as yourself, Alvin, that's giving us that music that we miss, to me, as a man, as a DJ, as a radio personality, I'm happy when we get music like that, that, you know, you take time out, you take pride in it, giving it to us for radio and for the listeners, because this is what's missing and this is what people want today, instead of that violence, you know, that fighting, you know, that disrespect. We want this music back, and there's a lot of young artists, R&B artists now, that are paying attention and going back and doing cover songs of which was good back in the 80s and the 90s today. Yes, sir.
Absolutely. It's cyclical. You know what I mean? And you're starting to get it. There's an exhaustion factor, right? You know, I have daughters, you know what I mean? I have two daughters, 14 mm-hmm. and 10. And I see my 14-year-old sort of being a part of a hungry generation for like a renaissance almost. Like mm-hmm. you just gotta, they're tired of seeing ratchetness, you know, like,
yep.
They're like, oh, I said, who do you like? They play basketball. Like, who would you choose, Caitlin Clark or, you know, Angel Reese? You know, just ask mm-hmm. them randomly. I said, well, mm-hmm. you know, my 10-year-old said, well, Caitlin Clark, she lets her game do the talking. She don't care about black and white. She just was like,
right.
The girl cool, but she kind of, you know, she figured she was loud. So she's like, I like the fact that the other girl just let her game do the talking. So that's refreshing to me. Of course,
yeah.
So it's like, you know, I think a lot of times people in society wants, let's say we talk about black people, they want us to think that being loud, ratchet, unintelligent is sexy. It's not. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I don't think, even if you are smart, acting like you're dumb is not intelligent. It's not sexy. It's not cool. And our, you know, music has sort of amplified that confusion, in my opinion. Putting mics on, you know, the stuff these R&B female artists are doing now is just, in my opinion, like, nah, I wouldn't let my daughters listen to it. You know what I mean? Because I wouldn't want them to aspire. I think that that's all right, you know?
Yeah, I think I'd have a fit if my daughter was on the stage dressed like something like Megan Stallion's material, something like that. I'd probably have a fit. They probably banned me from every concert there is in the world. I ain't lying, man. Miss Baldy, did you want to jump in? I heard you say something when we were talking about what women, you know, what women want as far as the music wise. Anything you want to add? You were saying something.
I mean, I totally agree when y'all was talking about what women want. I can't see myself having a romantic night with my dude, and it's a lot of cursing and a lot of ratchetness going on. No, I want some sweet, slow play, love singing, the old Teddy Pendergrass, you know, the old back in the day music. The music they play today, I really don't listen to it anymore. That's why I don't know a lot of new stuff that come out, because it really degrades a woman.
Mm.
So I have to go back to the old school.
Yeah.
What about you, Mike? I'm sorry, Alvin. Go ahead, Alvin.
No, go ahead, Mike. Let's see what Mike got to say.
Go ahead, Money Mike. What you got to say, brother?
On love and what's missing?
Yeah.
On that subject, I mean, alone. Look, I'm rap. I do hip hop. And I'll tell you what, something you just said, and like you're saying, I think people are tired of the over-wretchedness has a point. It gets to a point where, like, okay, it's too much. And my thing is, if I'm trying to, say, get with a woman, not a girl, a woman, but I know the effects ripple, I need to hear that different. I need to hear love. I'm with y'all because, man, black love is at an all, even more so now, at a risk because I read something the other day, and I'm like, this is the point. Like, this, he's addressing the problem, but this is the problem. And it was actually 21 Savage. He said, man, we don't want to make love songs no more, man, because, and he said, all these girls are H's. And I'm like, damn, that's messed up to say that because that ain't all women. But from his perspective, I'm like, damn, how many people thinking like that when I'm like, y'all saying this. Like, I'm trying to, you know, get back to me some. My playlist of music is when it's time for love, it's time for love. When it's time for me to think, love is involved with my music uplifting because I need to cleanse myself. Like I said, I rap, but I need love. I got to cleanse myself because it becomes too much. So I'm always looking for the next type of love song, the next type of song that speaks to my soul. I love when I hear a singer. I like when I hear you and you're the singer. I like to be, if I'm at a show and I'm kicking it with people and you start singing, I'll be like, whoa, wait a minute, stop. That right there, that's what I need to hear. hey, shout it, give me a few, like, let me vibe with the singer right quick. Trust me, I'm coming right back, but you need love, man. It's just love. It's just needed. So needed. It's needed in the music more so now than ever. We don't even coke no more. They don't even talk about cord no more. It's just straight through it. Let me get in them draws. I know you like that, cuz. I'm looking at the women. It's the women too. Like, hey, hey, what's up? So
you
go get your
food?
I'm like, it's really like that? I'm like, damn, well, if I'd have done y'all back in the day, boy, I'd have slept with half the population because it's nothing to it. That's it?
Nothing to it.
Golly, man, please. Let me have to fight for it. Give me something. Let me have to say some sweet things to you. Hey, baby, let me get them draws. What's up? No. Play.
Yeah. Go ahead, Alvin. What do you got to say?
You know, my piggybacking off my man, my I tell these fellas, I'm like, look, man, if you bragging about that, that's like walking up to me saying, man, check out this bottle of water I got, y'all. Man, look at this water. I'm like, I got water too. So you go, it's nothing to brag about. Like, you know,
right.
Back in the days, if you got you a little something, I mean, you actually did something. You had to work for it. You had to have some skills. So, you know, you got to kind of have a little trophy. You got you something back in the day. Now, it's like, why are you even concerned about it? They're throwing it away. It's free. You know what I mean? It's like oxygen. Everybody got access to it. So, like, why are you going to brag about something that requires no effort? It makes you small, in my opinion. Like, talk to me about something that requires you to put in some real work. If you want to have a real conversation with me and get some respect, don't talk about you having some sex. Like, that ain't okay. And, you know, so even writing songs as a songwriter, it takes more thought and intelligence and from the heart intelligence to write a good love song that people can feel than write about how I can smash. Because it don't take a lot to come up with, I'll meet you out back. Let me hit you from the back. You know, okay, great. You know?
Right.
Throw your left leg over my right shoulder, girl, and let's do it all night. All right, great. You know.
With some hard bass playing.
You're right.
Again, this is the Hilltop Radio Show. We got the one and only Mr. Alvin Garrett is in the house, man. You got a new song, man, Time Machine, man. Talk to us about the Time Machine, man.
Oh, man, the Time Machine is one of the songs on my latest project, acronym SFTY, which is Songs for the Yard. And, man, I work with a lot of people in my charitable work that have been incarcerated, impacted by the criminal justice system or the prison reentry program called the Dannon Project right here in Birmingham. So I always got to shout it out because I do give my time and my talent to a great cause. And just working with people and being touched by their stories and their trauma and being not just hearing about it but being a part of the solution, helping them get the behavioral health they need and get the mentoring that they need and job training, things like that, man, because people need uplifting, but they need solutions they can touch. And this song is just one of those songs that was inspired, that I was inspired to write just from being in that space that says, you know, if I could go back and change a lot of the things in my past, I would, but I can't. But if I had a time machine, you know, that it's just a state of mind to say, man, if I had a time machine, what would I change about my life? What would I have experienced differently if it were up to me, you know? And what can I do differently going forward? And so that time machine is all about, you know, us taking time to reflect on our triumphs and our trauma, you know?
All right, we do have a new listener listening to the show from Columbia, South Carolina, Miss Lee. Thank you for being a part of the show tonight. Thank you for listening. She is an educator out there in South Carolina as well. So everybody say hello. Hello, Miss Lee Lee. Thank you for being part of the show and listening.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hey, Miss Lee Lee, how you doing?
All right. This is Time Machine, y'all, and we'll be right back.
If I could go back,
tomorrow. Yes, I would.
About that song, man, Time Machine, brother.
I'm going to go on. I ain't even heard nothing else, but I'm going to say, for the simple fact of what I just heard, I'm going to steal a double chocolate slide and say, can you please play that again? Because
that's, I know that's right.
I'm talking about that right there. That's the kind of music.
If I could go back, all of my sorrow. Yes, I would.
Yes, it would. Set them drifting on the wanna find me. Oh, how different life would be if I could rearrange reality,
reality.
If I had a
into your music, your vocals, everything. But I'm a stick because I've only heard this one song of you.
Wow.
And I went to quickly look you up right now, and I see you have others, but I'm so listening. I'm looking at the list like, yeah, I'm going to go, but I'm like, man, this, you, for me, with this song, you speak to me to a time in my life that I just went through the past 5 years. And it spoke to me because of so much where I feel that if I had a time machine, because if I could change, I know what I would. But I'm here dealing with what has happened and how things have played out. And so for that, man, as a man, that touched me. Because
yeah.
I felt it as if, man, this is what I was saying up on me, DJ Sean. I'm feeling this, and I'm like, if there was a song to say what I feel in the dictionary, Alvin Garrett, Time Machine. Wow.
That's that song. Man. That's when somebody asked me, hey, man, this man, if you could replay it, Alvin Garrett Time Machine, it'll say everything you think it. Trust me.
Mm-hmm.
You just did all that in one song. I'm sold. I'm your fan. You ain't got to let me hear nothing else. I've never heard nothing else from you again. And I will forever to this day, Alvin Garrett Time Machine.
Wow.
I already went down.
Man, that is.
So is that real?
Man, that's such an honor, man. That's such an honor. And I want to thank you for sharing that because I know a lot of R&B artists focus on how they make the ladies feel. But I think about the brothers, you know, when I'm writing my music. You know, we have to be in touch. The fellas, you know what I'm saying, with our emotions, not just with the anger we feel and not just with the, you know, I think being cold-hearted is an emotion. You know what I'm saying? And I feel in order for us to love each other more as brothers, to save our communities and our families, we got to be able to reach each other. And so I put that into my music, and I love hearing the fellas say, hey, this touched me in a certain way. You know, I've had men come up to me and say, hey, man, your songs, you stopped me from committing suicide, or, you know, you got me through a divorce. Like, some of my biggest fans are black men. And so I'm proud of that because you don't have a lot of music that thinks about the emotions, the emotional spectrum of a black man. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Outside of what's below our belt, if you feel what I'm saying. But what's going on in our hearts? And so, you know, I appreciate you sharing that because I get a lot of brothers who say that my music reaches them in a way and speaks for them in that manner. So I appreciate that.
But you know, before I go to you saying that, I just want to add this because we had a conversation on a Wednesday night show that I go on from time to time, and one of the questions were men aren't emotional like we should be. You know, that's why in the 70s you notice Teddy Pendergrass made music so a man can feel like a man toward a woman. You know, it's all right to listen to my music. It's all right to cry if my music makes you cry. You know, Barry White, you know, Marvin Gaye, you know, Earth, Wind & Fire, the Commodores, you know, Al Green, you know, they brought us the music and said, listen, brother, you can cry. You know, you can cry in front of that woman. You can cry in front of your homeboy without your homeboy judging you. You can do those things now because, you know, my father, man, don't you sit up there and cry. Don't you sit up there and cry. You better not be crying, you know, and this and that. But they gave us music where if we miss her, it's okay to cry. You know what I mean?
That's right.
If we get heartbroken over somebody, it's okay to cry. So I just wanted to throw that out in what you said, you know, about, you know, making music for men. Because there's not a lot of men that make music for the brothers as well. It's mainly, you know, oh, I'm going to make this song for this lady. I'm going to make this song for that lady. You know, you come along and, You know, you're making, just like Mike said, you're making, you know, and everything that Mike said, I'm just going to agree with him. That's how I feel right now about your music. And I'm going to go to Miss Sandy. Go ahead, Sandy.
Well, respectfully, I don't want to speak. I'm enjoying listening to men speak because y'all very seldom get a chance to really pour your heart out. So I'm just going to be quiet on this one.
Yeah. Well, how you feel about the song?
See, well, I love the song, but what y'all talking about, it is in the song. Mm-hmm. And I love it, and I love hearing men talk like men and not boys. So I'm just enjoying it. I love the song.
Yeah, man, I'll share this intimate story about me and my dad. My dad's my best friend. He's my pastor.
And we talked about an hour and a half this morning. And when I played that song for him, you know, it was, I was a little nervous, you know, because that line that says, my daddy would have gave me a hug. Now, I was like, I hope he don't feel bad about this, because that's totally not my life. Like my daddy hugged me all the time. Like, he hugged me.
Right.
I almost felt dishonest because I'm like, that's totally the opposite of what he showed me. So I didn't want him to think I was, you know, tripping. I ain't, you know. And then he sat there and tears started rolling down his eyes. And I'm like, he said, boy, you ain't right. I said, what's wrong? He said, I'm just sitting here thinking about my daddy. So I'm sitting here, I didn't know my granddaddy. You know, I didn't know my daddy, you know what I'm saying? I grew up with my dad, and, you know, and he started to tell me things I didn't even know that he went through. And he was just saying, you know, he said, man, son, you don't even know what you touched on with this one. And he just said, I loved you the way I did because I didn't get it, you know. And so it even helped me bond with my own dad. He sat there and he's like, I'm talking about real tears. You talking about coal miners strong.
So, wow.
He said, man, you took me back. He said, you you ain't fair. He said, well, you ain't right. So when you're talking about making a grown man cry, he was thinking about his own day. He said, my dad would have gave me a hug. So I didn't even think about it when I wrote that line. I was just flowing with what came to me. Mm-hmm. And here it is, taking my own father back to his fatherless days. And I didn't have to go through that because of his commitment to loving me. And so, you know, I just want to share that, you know, and that's not something I talk about much, but I felt like that would be, you know, a blessing for anybody listening and for us in this context. You know what I mean? That we can change the future. We can change each other's destiny through love and compassion for each other. You know, and I work with a lot of young men at the Danning Project who have been a part of maybe some type of violent crime or none, you know, to where, man, what side of town you live on could determine some very bad things. But when they come, I'm like, you my brother, you my son, and we're going to love each other in here. You know, we're going to learn to just see another black person and say, that's my brother. I don't care where you're from. I don't care what gang you represent. I don't care about none of that. You black, you my brother. If we start there, we can just start there and say, you get to live simply because you look like me. Imagine the change if we just start there. You look like me. Why would I hurt you? You know, and that's what I try to live out in my life, you know, through my music and also through my good works, you know, and what I do.
Alan, let me ask you this, man. When are you performing again? When's your next performance and where?
Well, good question, man. I am actually preparing to do some really cool things. I'm working on a tour. I'm doing some things with the library, man, with my songwriting class. So I actually have a really, really, really cool songwriting program where I work with young people and not just teach them how to write songs, but teach them the power of positive music through group therapy and things of that nature. And so we're basically taking that on the road. I just finished up in Chicago. So I haven't been doing a lot of traditional concerts for a while. Because I'm doing, like, some documentary type of stuff, just some innovative things I'm working on and would love to be sharing here real soon. And so we'll be touring, going into other cities, working with youth and young adults and recording them, recording the songs that we write. So, man, I'm, you know, I tour for so long, you know, as a musician, as a performer, and I'm sort of in this space where I'm like, you know what, I want to do something that's bigger than that. Not that I won't be doing my shows because I love being on stage, but right now I'm really focusing on that kind of project, which you know, I feel is a little different, you know?
Wow. So, I mean, you talk about your the project, man. Talk to us a little bit about the project, man. Let's get off the music for a minute because when you mention it, man, you light up. you know, like a Christmas lights, man. Talk to us about, you know, that, man, and how important it is to you working with, you know, brothers, you know, because you seem like you are a real brother's keeper. And we don't have many brothers keepers. Yeah. Talk to us about that, man.
Absolutely, man. Growing up, my dad always said, he's like, son, you're gonna make a big difference. Your ministry's not gonna be behind the pulpit. He said, you ain't gonna do like me. You gonna do yours different. And so, you know, growing up in Tuscaloosa, man, I was taught to stay away from the gangs. You know, I was a straight A student. I was a bit of a nerd, to be honest, you know, until I started lifting weights and throwing people around on the football field. I was kind of nerdy, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I just didn't get in trouble, you know what I mean? Never been to jail, don't have no tattoos. I'm about as clean cut as they come. Never had a clue that, you know, anybody from the other side of the railroad would even identify with me, but just kind of just stumbled upon it, man. I ain't going to even lie, just stumbled upon it. And was invited into that space, and man, they shocked me, to be honest. They were like, man, you what we need, you know what I'm saying? And so they embraced me in a way that changed my heart and showed me, hey, no, you ain't got to be where we from for us to relate to you. We looking at you trying to learn. You love us, and it's the genuineness that draws people together. They know I don't judge, bro. Come here, let's hug. Hey, man, what you hugging for? Come give me a hug. I love you, brother. And so you got guys saying I love you for the first time in their life, hearing it without some string attached, and they all know I ain't gonna lie for you and I ain't gonna lie on you. And that became my reputation. They called me Pop, and it just did more for me than I think it did for them, to be honest, because I'm like, it taught me what real love is, and real love is what can you do for somebody else that really needs it, and how can you inspire somebody else in a way that uplifts them and not just talk about it. So the Dannon Project really gave me an opportunity to put my faith in action, you know what I'm saying, to put my convictions to work and not just think about my own success through my music, but to share that with other people and see them get jobs, you know, and, you know, see young guys who don't understand what being a father is start taking care of their kids. You know what I'm saying? It's at this stage in my life, it's been so rewarding, and so many wonderful things are coming to me, but while I'm not even grinding as hard as I used to grind, because I'm like, you know, let me do this for a while, and let me just pray to the good Lord, if you're going to open up a door for me, open it up, but let me give back. And I am very passionate. I'm glad you can hear that about it. It's pure, man, and I just lost one of my young guys. He committed suicide.
Wow.
Just breaks your heart. Yeah, he breaks your heart, man. He got a job. He got out the streets, and it just caught up with him. You know what I'm saying? And so with so many of our young guys don't even believe that 20 years old is possible, that turning 21 is possible. And so I just try to do the best I can to help them see that, you know, you shouldn't see 18 as a goal or 21 as a goal. You should see your grandkids in your mind. You know what I'm saying? Start thinking like that. But you got to give them hope. And so I'm just proud to be a part of an organization that partners with employers, partners with the trainers, partner with the federal government to make sure that if these young people want to, you can do better if you want to, right? If you want to go to work, there's somebody willing to work with us to give you a good job. If you want to get out the streets, you actually can. We ain't just saying put the gun down, but you can't reach a job. You know, they provide the transportation. You know, all the things you need to get up on your feet, somebody in the community is actually helping to get them there. So there's so many other organizations in so many communities that do the same type of thing. And so, you know, we always got to give a shout-out to the people that's uplifting the poor and that's and those who need help.
So if there's anybody that's listening and that want to be a part of, you know, your organization or a volunteer or even help, how can they get a hold of you, you know, to get more information?
Absolutely. Dannon, that's D-A-N-N-O-N, project, project.org. You know, just go to the website, dannonproject.org, and just look at the amazing story of 20-plus year history of how we serve the community, expanding, you know, spreading the word, working with other organizations like ours and other areas. And so we're taking, that's part of what we're doing, taking that songwriting program on the road. Like I said, we were in Chicago working with another youth organization. And so we're building partnerships to help do the same thing in other communities and make music. So to me, it's the best of both worlds. So dannonproject.org, people can donate because we're always looking for support in that way to continue to provide services. But, yeah, that's what I would suggest do, dannonproject.org.
You know, I'm going to connect you with my uncle. My uncle is one of the supervisors in Miami, Florida, at the Dade County Juvenile Detention Center. And he's always looking, they're always looking for people to come in to impact the youth with positive things. You know what I mean? I think what you got going on in Alabama, I think that can be something that my uncle can get you involved in down there in Miami. And I'm going to make that happen for you. Yeah, I have your phone number. Matter of fact, I have your phone number. I'm going to reach out to my uncle tomorrow, and I'm going to get you guys connected. And also, there's a project going on in Atlanta, and I'm on this guy from Atlanta. He has a talk show on the first and third Monday of each month. It's called Mandatory Adjustment. And I'm going to get you on that show as well, get you hooked up with Antonio Magahai. He's an artist, too. He's an artist as well.
Okay.
And I'm going to get you connected with him and get you to come on his show and talk about, you know, music and what you're doing there in Alabama. Because you know, brotherhood, this is brotherhood right here, because I'm using resources that can help you and what you're doing in Alabama to impact other people in other cities and other states. And then also my man, just come to think of a whole lot of people that I know personally, what's his name, Rodney C. From Funky 4 Plus 1. He has an organization in New York that they're doing stuff in New York and Philly, and they're trying to go outside of New York and Philadelphia to do stuff for youth, to get the brothers off the street. And then there's Miles Muhammad. He is part of Farrakhan's, you know, Nation of Islam in San Francisco. I'll connect you with them as well, too, man. This is something that can happen, that needs to happen with these young brothers, man, going down the wrong road. So, you know, I'm glad that you came on. I'm glad that we're not really sticking, you know, music, but also what you do outside of music. And that's a must for fans and listeners to know what you're doing outside of music. And what you're doing outside of music for the youth means a lot to a lot of people that are listening to the show, especially to me as well, because, you know, the connections that people have, this is why we need to help one another get through. Because I always say, Alvin, you know, everybody has a phone. Everybody has phone numbers. Everybody has connections. If that connection is just sitting in your phone and you run into somebody that can utilize that phone number and use it in a positive way. You know what I mean? You know, I don't care about, oh, DJ Sean hooked me up. No, I care about the youth, you know, tomorrow's people, you know, like my granddaughters, my grandson that's on his way, you know, their kids, their kids after that, when we're gone, we still have to have people put in place that's going to carry the torch from now until then.
Right.
So yeah, I'm gonna help you a lot. I'm gonna connect you. I'm gonna help you connect the dots in what you're doing. Yeah.
Man, I absolutely appreciate that, and because I'm very, you know, I'm grateful and honored that you would, you know, consider doing that. And what I have learned, because I, you know, being a songwriter, you know, I produce a lot of artists, work, you know, write for a lot of artists, but there's something special, you know, when you get in a group of young men between the ages of 18 and 24 years old, who may believe, like, especially when you start doing your song, my songwriting class, and they think, man, you can't get on if you don't, if you ain't, you know, B's and H's and this and that. They truly don't believe that they can make it in music unless they're killing and robbing and like what they hear. They think that's what's going to make it. But then at the end of the process, to write, to see them make music and celebrate positive songs, so I can tell my story without all of that, and then they love it and realize it's still hot, and then the bonds that are created through the process, it's really miraculous, to be honest with you. And I know it's, and I'm just very passionate about taking that project out and sharing it and hopefully creating a few stars along the way, because I believe somewhere along the way I'm going to run into a young person that's going to buy into it, and they could go change the world with their music. You see what I mean?
Yes, sir.
They can say, no, I ain't ever play a B in my song, and that person be the hottest rapper in the next generation. And I can say he was in my class. You know? So I'm excited about the opportunity to connect to whoever you're willing to pipeline me to, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah, man. We got to help one another, man. You know, because honestly, today's music is really starting to get played out with the B word, the N word, you know, and if you listen to Money Mike's music, since I've been knowing him, he doesn't downgrade no women. He hardly cusses in his music. His music is that purified music, like Prince says, you can go up there to the lake up there in Minnesota and go, you know, hey, go jump in it. You know what I mean? It's going to purify you. You know, that's how Money Mike's music is, man. And the, you know, your old school labels aren't signing artists anymore that have that gangster, that foul mouth mood anymore. They want real music back that's going to sell. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
So did y'all get more than one song from me? I got so many songs. I wanna see if I can win them over with another one. Do y'all have some on music?
No, man.
I'm trying to see.
The music with Chris works for, they only sent me the one song that they are pushing, that they wouldn't push me. Yes, sir. So this is what we're going to do.
We can't showcase. Okay, that's fine. Hey, follow the rules.
Hey, no. This is what we're going to do, man. We're going to go outside the box. I have your number. So what I'm going to do tomorrow, when I talk to you tomorrow, I'm going to call you tomorrow, man, get you set up with my uncle. But we're going to bring you back next month. We're going to bring you back. And I'm going to give you my email, and I want you to send me more of your music, man, because we're just going to say we're going to do a part two. We're going to do a part two of this to this conversation, man, because and I didn't really ask her for any more music, because when they are pushing the song, sometimes they don't really understand. You know, listeners want to hear something else, and I should have asked her, but I didn't want to put too much on her because I just started working with this group. You know what I'm saying? I had to, You got to feel your way through the door first, and then once you get a seat at the table, then you can start. Hey, I need more. Can we get
something? But you know what's good though. You know, people these days do want to know who they're listening to. You know, they can hear it in the music, and you know, I really appreciate y'all playing that song. But I also appreciate y'all getting to know me and giving me a chance to talk,
because
that's how people connect, and that's how they say, you know what, this is a real human being. He ain't just selling me no music. In today's time, folks want to know who you are. You know what I mean? They want to be able to connect with you and see if you're a genuine person. And so I appreciate the opportunity to talk about my upbringing, my family, you know, my values, my passions, in addition to the music. So I appreciate all of it.
That was one reason why I created this style show, Alvin, was to let fans know who you are outside the studio, who you are outside the stage. Does he laugh? Does he like to cut jokes? Does he like cutting up? You know, what is he real about? And that's what, you know, at the beginning of the show, I said, you know, this isn't like no other show. We're going to get to know who you are, and that's what we're doing. We're getting to know who Alvin Garrett is. Not, we know who Alvin Garrett is, the artist, the musician, you know, but we want to know who you are as a man and what you do on your time, you know, in your spare time, you know, things like that. So this is why I created this style show. You know, not only you, but, you know, Melvin, even Lenny Williams, you know, I had him on, you know, and he let his hair down, you know, and, you know, Chris Jasper, you know, I've had Angie Stone on here, man. I've had the good, you know, A-plus, you know, R&B artists on here, man, since I've been doing this show 2010. Yeah. We just celebrated 1,750 episodes last week.
Wow.
Yeah, wow, man.
Hey, congratulations. Wow, that's great.
When I started this radio show, man, people said, oh, man, you ain't gonna last 6 months. And here, 14 years later, I'm still here.
Come on. Well, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I mean. It was so funny when you're on this side of the game, like say when you swim with the sharks, you realize people are just people, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, not sure if anybody knows, but back, you know, Reuben Studdard, American Idol, he and I were in the same band. I knew, you know, we played in the same groups. You know, we best buds back in the days. And before American Idol, we were promoting shows together. He was in my band. He's a regular dude.
Oh, wow.
Like, I say regular, regular as regular can be. You know what I mean? And just overnight, you know, the part, people saw the overnight part, but I know the pre-overnight, right? So I'm like, you just a dude. Like, you still the dude that I was eating at Fat Sam's with. Like, you ain't famous to me. And when you start getting around all these industry people, like, they're just people. You see what I'm saying? And you realize they don't want fans backstage. They want peers. You know, let's just sit and talk, man. We chilling. And so I met so many, quote-unquote, famous people that backstage, you're like, hey, don't bring that back here. We're all peers. And so you learn to just be a human being. Don't be a product all the time. And so I appreciate the opportunity to just be a human being tonight.
Yeah, that's what I do. I take the knowledge that I've learned at Sony. I take the knowledge that I've learned at Universal. And I didn't appreciate the way they were treating people. So I said, you know what? I'm going to take what I learned from them and help the artists, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Or, I want to be signed. No, you don't want to be signed. All you need is a good distribution behind you, a good distribution and a good street team to push you as an artist and creating a good fan base that's not going to destroy you as an artist. And get behind people, get behind good people like DJs, real DJs, not these social media DJs that take your music behind your back and put on a thumb drive and go sell it to people. Where you're, man, we had a conversation today, Alvin, with an artist, and I was telling them about how some DJs won't share artists' music because they're taking the music, they're taking the artist's music and putting on thumb drives and selling it. So say like this, and I broke it down to them like this. Okay, you take a thumb drive with 60-some artists on there for $60, and say every artist on there is worth, their song is $2, right? So then, if I take that same thumb drive, I said 30 because $60. $2 every artist on there, their song's $2. And I sold that thumb drive five times. That's $300. You take that $200 and you times it by 300. You artists are missing out $600 that could be in your pocket because somebody took your music and sold it underneath your nose without you knowing. That's dreams.
But I'll give you another perspective on it, though, as an independent business owner. And this is one of the things I learned. I'm glad I learned. Mm-hmm. A lot of artists don't earn is the cost of doing business, right? So what would it cost me, right, out of pocket to reach the people that the DJs are going to reach for $2, you know, and if they take my music and they're making their money, what's the value of the reach and the exposure my music is going to get? And what would it cost me out of pocket to do it without them? That's the way you have to look at it, is they ain't stealing from you. They saving you money. You know what I'm saying? And because you got to pay to make money.
Well, then I'm going to come at you with this.
Okay,
I'm going to come at you with this. Real DJs in real radio stations, do we charge you to play your music? We get your music from where? Follow me. We're getting your music from your group, you know, your people. You follow me? So
That's right.
If I'm a DJ and I'm part of three or four coalitions, which I am, and I have ties to radio stations around the world, would you rather have them take the money from you or getting your music played for free around the world?
You know, I can only speak as an individual, right? I just gave you an example. No, I'm serious. I just gave you an example of a buddy of mine came, you know, we're in the same city. Both of us are basically local, hungry artists. And overnight, he's famous. You know, and I'm touring around the country and the world with him, like literally overnight. Okay, he doesn't ever have to release a record ever again. He doesn't have to. He can go out and sing Luther Vandross music. People don't know me yet. They're getting to know me, but they know him from a TV show. Don't mean he's better than me, but they just know him because he has the exposure. Sometimes you have to take what you can get where you are and then leverage that later on. You see what I'm saying? So I'm not talking and saying it's right or wrong. I'm saying at this point in my career, the exposure and the relationships that I can build will give me an opportunity to recoup that because I may not have that big of a platform. You know what I mean? A lot of artists don't have that big of a marketing platform. So they may get nothing at all without some people out there doing that kind of thing. So, you know, it's debatable, but not everybody has the wherewithal or the ability to make the money. You know, if they may not get hurt at all. if they're not a part of the systems that are out there. Some good, some bad, but you got to take it all and mix it together and make the best out of it. You know what I mean?
I understand.
You know,
but I'm
going
to
get old school.
Huh? But I'm going to have to throw a butt to you again. But.
Okay, throw me the butt.
I'd rather have my music in the hands of a DJ that's going to make me known as an artist than have my music taken from me and sold underneath my nose. Because here's the thing, you're already trying to sell your music on Spotify. You're trying to make a dollar on DistroKid or Amazon or wherever the platforms are that you're selling, that you're trying to sell your music. But to have a DJ go behind your back and take your music and make a dollar off of it, I have an issue with that.
How do DJs they sell music? I thought everybody streamed music. Man,
they put the music. They get the music like how I get it, and they put the music on a thumb drive and they sell it. And you got people that'll buy it.
Right.
Instead of pushing that music, man.
Right.
Mike could tell you, I've been pushing Mike's music for 2 years now. And just a couple of months ago, I called Mike. I said, Mike, do you know a such and such person? This person is taking your music, your money for your music that's supposed to be going in your pocket is going to them. Did you know that? Am I lying,
right,
Mike?
Right.
Yeah.
All facts.
And this is something I get offended from because you guys
work
hard, your blood, sweat, and tears behind you. You're a Grammy-nominated artist. It shouldn't nobody be taking your music and selling it underneath your nose without you knowing.
That's
Grammy-nominated?
Absolutely.
Awards from the music that you wrote for other people? Come on, man.
That's right.
You got to get paid.
That's right.
That $2, man, hey, even if it's not enough for gas, that's a soda. If you got, you know, some water, you know, four dollar chips, you know what I'm saying? I mean,
And you know, like, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And there's just different levels to this thing out here. You know what I mean?
You have a family, and $600. Come on, that's $300 a piece. You know what I'm saying? And Mike has a family. I take it a different way, man. I take it as a disrespect because of the passion and the love that I have for the music, man. That's why I'm the way I am.
And that's good. One of the things that I tell artists, because, you know, there's way more artists than there are business people, right? Way more artists than there are business people. Way more musicians than there are business people. And most people that participate in the entertainment industry, they only want profit. They only want to get a check. They don't want to spend the money. That's why they go sign record deals and they're enslaved for the rest of their life. Is because somebody else got to be the bank, right? Man, record label take advantage of it. Well, the record label is the bank. You know, and if you don't understand the business of it, then you're going to lose out. But you go take out $500,000 loan. you go take out $500,000 loan and go promote your music, you know, and see how well you can recoup it, you know, through, you know, everything a record label will have to do to make their money back. You know what I mean? Most people don't think of it like that. And so I'm not for or against anybody doing what they have to do. But I also say, hey, to make a dollar, what does it cost out of pocket? Most people ain't got that $5 it costs to make $1. And that's just my background in business, and I've been able to be successful by saying, yeah, Bootlegger might have got me, but they invited me to a show because my song got hot in that town and they paid me 10 grand. You see what I'm saying? You know, I might have got it back some other kind of way because I knew how to take advantage of the relationships with the communities that my music was playing in, whereas I might not have made that dollar directly from that, you know, sale. But I got on stage, and I didn't have to spend the money to do it, you know. So that, I just try to look at the silver lining in how you can still take advantage of those things and not let it get you down and knock you out the game. That's just my perspective on it.
Right, right. I understand. But the thing about it is, like I tell artists on social media, I'd rather have my music going to a DJ that has industry credibility.
That's right.
And I'm one of those DJs that have industry credibility because of the people that I know in the industry. Yeah, I worked at Sony. Yeah, I was with Universal. Yeah, I'm with them. Mm-hmm. I know the ins and outs. But my thing is knowing... I do a show every month called Industry Night, where I bring executives onto the show. That's going to cost artists $5,000 to $10,000 just to sit with them for 30 minutes, and I have them on my show for 2 hours, where I can play the artist's music for free because of the credibility that I have. So if I say, so if I get an executive, say, from Motown, hey, man, Chris, I got this artist named Alvin, man. He's been in the industry for a long time, man. I want you to check his music out and tell me what you think. Okay, DJ Sean, send it to me.
Yeah.
I don't have to go to a third party. I don't have to go through, you know, a secretary. Oh, well, just send it to us and we'll make sure we get it, you know, they'll give it to them when they feel like giving it to them. So that's why I can call these cats up and bring them on the show, and they give their constructive criticism to these artists. And also, the last time I done it, I've had artists, they wanted artists to send them their music personally. And have them on projects and stuff. Yeah. So that's how my drive is for music, my passion for music. My background, I never played an instrument. I don't rap. I don't sing. All I learned how to do was DJ. My uncle was the first black disc jockey at a white radio station. So that's where I learned. I learned from him. My grandparents own a jute joint, and they had artists always coming through singing, doing, you know, from the Chitlin circuit back in the 70s, and they had a jukebox, and I know every song from the 50s and 60s. I can tell you exactly who it is and what they're singing, because I was born into music.
Yeah. So that's why you kind of digging that time machine that took you back.
That's right.
Singing hard.
Yeah, man. And then you know, I can call people like Leroy Johnson. That's Rick James' brother. That's my mentor. I can call him. I can call Randolph Scott. That's Tamika and Latasha's father of Escape. You know, that's my godfather. I can call John Simpson, the original bass player of SOS Band. I can call Jimmy Brown, lead singer of Brick. I can call all these cats and pick their brain and talk to them about music and ask them questions and stuff. And they're giving me what I'm looking for. That's the relationship that I have with the industry. That's why I said industry credibility, because these guys are still, they're still performing, they're still traveling, and they're still making music.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, well, go on, add me to the team.
Oh, I got you. I got your number now. I'm going to tear your ears off too.
You want that? Hey, I love that credibility. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right, man. Yeah, I cherish, you know, listening to the OGs and learning about old school rules with new school tools. You know what I'm saying?
You
can't forsake the history of how things were done, even if things are being done different. You got to know how they were done to get to the root of it, because there's something about those relationships that go beyond with this new stuff. People on social media getting to know each other, man. You got to shake some hands. You got to show up. You know what I'm saying? It ain't nothing like just driving and meeting somebody face to face. Yo, you drove? You could have emailed me that. I did a record with Barcaze and my man Larry Dotson.
Nope.
He was like, yeah, send me some stuff, man. He's like, I heard you real nice. I heard that Joe record you did. I said, send you something. I said, ain't you in Memphis? He's like, yeah. I said, can I not just drive over there and give it to you?
Yeah.
He said, what, young blood? You going to drive over here just to play some music? And, man, that turned into tour dates, relationships, song placements. We still cool and family to this day. He said,
Larry's,
man, you literally got in your car.
Yeah.
But he respected it because I'm, you know, young, from a younger generation.
Uh-huh.
But I was like, man, I'm not going to email you when I can drive 4 hours and meet you and shake your hand. You willing to talk to me? So I sat in his house. But he said, man, people don't do this no more. And so he gave me the history. I mean, it was like, you mean the icon and you going to send him an email?
That's right, man.
So I believe in that part of the business where it's like, go shake people's hand, let them look you in the eye, and you learn something from them. You know, learn from the OGs who were out there doing it before the game changed, and they can teach you something that you can, you know, stand on, man. So I listen to and build relationships with people like yourself, you know, Al, Bill, Stack Records. You know, that's a good mentor of mine. I talked to you know, for many years, and so
Stack Records. You talk about Stack Records. I know Ronnie Hudson. He was Stack Records. He was the bass player for Isaac Hayes. Me and him tight.
Yeah.
He comes on this show all the time.
Wow.
That's my man.
Wow.
Yeah. Gwen and her sister, Love Unlimited. I broke their on this show. I broke their Christmas CD.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So relationships that I have with, and then they turn me on to other artists, old school. Then I, you know, give them a good show, and they turn me on to people. And then I call them up and ask them a question or something. Or ask them, you know, I got a show coming up. Do you mind coming on and listen to a couple of artists and stuff? And, oh, sure, no problem. Just give me the date, and I'm there. Yeah. I took the original singer for Blue Magic. Blue Magic is getting ready to come back with a whole new group. But I can't even think of his name. His wife sent me his old song, and I took the song and resubmitted it for her on radio, and she calls me every month, just like Rick James' brother calls me every month, thanking me because he's getting a royalties check from old music that no one even took a chance on and putting it out there, and I did that for them.
Wow.
Why? Because of the love of I have for the music. Yeah.
That's right. And that's what we, and that's, so I'm appreciative, man. I'm humbled by you all's reaction to, you know, to the single, and hopefully that's just the gateway to a lot of people going to listen to more of my music that's out there. So got several albums for people to go stream out there. This latest album is called Safety, S-F-T-Y, featuring Time Machine. That's out to my recent release. Got an album called Lightness of Love. You know, got this Heal, Expose Yourself. So I've been making music. Got a single out there called Miss Perfection, featuring Zap, the Zap Band. Roger,
oh, wow.
Not Roger, but Lester Troutman featured
okay.
on the drums. And his Lester Troutman Jr. did the voice box on the song. So that song called Miss Perfection. So I'm working with
I'm learning the voice box myself.
Oh yeah. Yeah, man.
Yeah, man. But yeah, man, I got your number, man. We're gonna stay in touch. I'm gonna connect you with the people, man. We're gonna bring you back on a part two for next month, and that's how we're gonna do it, man.
Absolutely. Now I got me a new friend in the ham. Although she's an Auburn fan, I'm gonna see if I can. Since she's doing a lot out here in this community, I figure we can team up and put our differences aside.
You said something about the library. She does stuff. Sure, she's got a book in the library. In Birmingham. Yeah.
Most certainly do. Yeah, and Alvin, my pastor's son is the first black drum major at Alabama.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Who's your pastor?
Who was that?
That was me. See, I had to do my old church lady voice on you. Who's your pastor?
I'm like, who in the world is that?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, we got to get together and do some things in Birmingham.
He asked you who your pastor is.
KJ Mack. Oh, KJ Mack.
I don't know, no. I don't know him. What's the name of his church?
Ooh, Rhema Word Ministry.
Ooh, Rhema. Hallelujah. Where they cook that at, Rhema?
It's on 39th Street.
Yeah. I tried to make you laugh. I said, where they cook rain?
Where they cook rain? Oh, my God. I thought you said, where is it? Oh, my God.
Where they cooking? Where they cooking the rain at?
That's gone. You got to go outside wind. That's gone up there with the clouds.
Rain noodles. The Raymond
News. It's gone, Alvin. You got to get your fishing ride.
You got to bring that back.
You got to bring it back. You better go grab that balloon before it goes way up there.
I know.
Let me stop messing with
it. I've been quiet the whole time. I'm letting y'all have
now, we've been trying to get
We've
been trying to get you to talk, though.
I'm really enjoying listening to men talk. Really.
Well, we got to learn from you.
Oh, of course.
On Fridays on my morning show, the second half of the show, we have a segment called Barbershop Talk. We got to get you come on there one morning and, you know, men talking, you know, we talking life, you know, relationships, mm-hmm. you know, kids,
yeah.
you know, bonding, you know, barbershop talk. Yeah, we get into
that
it, is. Man. Yeah, we get into it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I'm all for it.
Yeah, Money Mike gets really into it, man. You know, we got some of the ladies. They call in and they come on and be a part of the show as well too, man. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, yeah.
If you let them in, they're going to come in. If you let them in.
Oh, yeah. Yep. But, yeah, man, one more time, Alvin. Let everybody know where they can follow you at on social media, man.
All right. That's The Alvin Garrett, T-A-T-A-L-V-I-N, Garrett. It's on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, if they still call it that. And alvingarrett.com is where you can go to check me out, learn a lot about me, get connected to my streaming sites from there as well. So just go to all your favorite streaming sites, Apple Music, Spotify, YouTube, and all the rest of them, and pull up Alvin Garrett. Just go on a ride. This is the time machine, but also go on a journey with all my other music in my catalog. So I definitely appreciate the opportunity to talk with y'all tonight, man. And, it's been a blessing, you know. I really, really enjoyed myself tonight.
We appreciate you, man, and thank you, man. And I'll be in touch with you tomorrow, man.
That sounds good, man. Y'all be blessed. Take care.
Thank you for the
you
same.
Too. Sir.
Okay, now.
All right,
peace.
Peace. We'll be right back, y'all.
It's time to get a whole new perspective on Ram Trucks. Because to us, there are no small jobs, no little tasks. And when it comes to innovation, there are no modest ideals. No wonder why more people are switching to Ram than ever before. Ram Trucks, back-to-back Motor Trend Truck of the Year.
2, 3, break!
Wake up, wake up. It's the DJ Shaw Morning Show. Yeah, playing that old school classic era. Bringing you the hottest R&B and blessing your ears with some of today's hottest and blazing jams. Yeah, it's DJ Shaw in the morning, so won't you go on, let your boy have him get today poppin'. It's DJ Shaw in the morning. Yeah.
I want to ask you a question.
Okay.
When we get our guns?
You guys are supposed to be big tough guys, huh? You don't need all these gadgets, huh? All you need is this here.
To the Hilltop Radio Show. We got like 4 minutes left in the show, and then Double Chocolate decides she wants to call into the show. Ain't that some shit?
Hey, sister.
How are you?
I am frustrated.
I bet you
are. I am. I'm going to relieve that stress, though.
Mm, you didn't get to work in there.
Don't fall for it. Don't fall for that banana in the tailpipe, Mike. I keep telling you.
I might be baiting her in this time.
Oh, man. Let's get one from Grandma Belle Beulah real quick, y'all. We'll be right back.
Hi, y'all, Darren out there in Radio Land. This is Grandma Belle Beulah, and I got a question to ask you. What in the hell is going on?
Well,
hearing all these young girl rappers in the hip-hop community talking about diseases and how they don't want to use condoms and everything. Let me tell y'all young folks something. I don't know who's teaching you what, but if you ain't acting right in your life, that means you probably ain't right in your hygiene. So I'm going to tell you, vinegar can be your best friend. You got to wash it. Some of y'all out there listening to me right now upset because you know you ain't got no damn business getting in front of nobody, clapping nothing, no kind of way. You can blame it on your pH balance, but some of y'all just ain't washed. You take the time, put on them thick eyelashes, big booties, and breasts, trying to look all good and poke everything out so everybody can notice it. Take them clothes off, and it smell like fish. Yeah, I said it. I'm a woman, I guess the right. Some of y'all mad right now, but I tell you the truth. And if you one of them that's ever had a man had to take the time to tell you you wasn't right, shame, 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 shame. Shouldn't have been inviting somebody to it in the first place. This is Grandma Belle Buell. I had to say it. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
All right. Grandma B ain't playing around, y'all. She be on it. She be on it. This is it. Before we do this, Money Mike, let everybody know where they can follow you at.
Definitely, definitely. Y'all can follow me at all social media at It's UNG Music, ItsUNGMusic. I'm going to stop right there right then. And, of course, on the Hilltop Radio Show with DJ Sean, the Hilltop All-Stars, and the website at newungmusic.com.
All right, Miss Sandy, Miss Baldy. Talk to him.
My Facebook is Sandy, S-A-N-D-E-Y, Green, G-R-E-E-N-E. My alopecia page is downstairs. Just ask, hashtag alopecia. My Instagram is fearless_woman68.
All right, Love After Dark. We're going to be back, y'all, until the fall when the clocks go back.
Dang.
When time falls back. Double trying to let everybody know where they can follow you at.
No, but this weekend I'm going to be in Dallas babysitting my grandbaby, so it's okay for me to have a show on Sunday with the babies. But y'all can follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at Rosemarie. Snapchat at Queen Rosemarie. And I will be resuming Love After Dark next month. Yeah. I'll let you know what artists I have on.
Shit, when time falls back.
Take over, baby. You got my permission. Go ahead.
I'm going to come on with that. Can you do it like this, baby? Can you do it like this, sugar? This is Money Mike. Love After Dog, where we get it in on the get in or the get in. Ain't that right, Miss Baldy? Put your sexy self.
Boy, you better stop. Dude, let me find out y'all. Go ahead and do that Love After Dark. I'ma listen. Shit, I ain't no hater.
Money Mike. You talking? Oh no.
Yeah. Oh, I'ma let you. Next thing you know, you're gonna be
down.
My co-host.
You gonna jump in and club your ass down.
Come on with it. You hear me talking about that DJ sound?
Hmm.
I got a question.
He tuned us all out.
Can I ask this question, DJ Sean?
Yeah, go ahead.
I gotta put it out there. Have you heard the new MC Light song?
Yeah, I heard it.
No.
With Big Daddy Kane and Salt from Salt and Pepper. Woman.
Yeah, I heard it.
Man, I was like, yes.
Matter of fact, I got it tonight. I got it tonight. I'm gonna be playing it tomorrow, but I'm trying to see which one of them are available for an interview.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm gonna come to your house if you get them. I'm coming to your house. I want to be sitting in front of you. No, I'm gonna go to Rosemarie's house. No, I'm gonna go. We going to get Rosemarie and Miss Baldy in the Tahoe, and we going to all drive DJ Sean for that interview. Yeah. But if you don't feel comfortable in Yahoo, we definitely can get Scrap and get in the Yukon for a plenty of room for
however we need to move when we doing the move that we do.
Y'all gonna be going out there. Y'all gonna be going out there. It ain't gonna be nobody there. I'm telling you. Y'all going into that boy. Ain't nobody gonna be out there. She gonna have it damn day caged down in every damn day.
Well, you know, sometimes DJ Sean, a good look is all you really need.
Yeah,
you
be looking.
You can lock it in your mind.
You can look at all the motherfucking mannequins in that damn place and try to figure out which one's her. You can be like, oh, that one ain't it. Ass ain't big enough. Oh, that one ain't it. Titties ain't big enough.
I'm mad.
Ah, damn. Now, before y'all go, y'all know one person that knows. Before you go, you know one person that knows double chocolate more than anybody is me now. I don't want you to be wasting no damn gas money. You better call first.
Well, I will. I'm gonna go to the shop first. I'm gonna go to the store first.
Mm-hmm.
When dealing with her, I ain't gonna just pop up down there. I'm gonna go to your store. Well, thank you. Let me find out you're trying to shoot out the back door.
And I got a back door too.
I know it. I'm gonna have a scrap right at the back door.
She got one of the back doors that you had to pull the trailer up to. That's the type of back door she got. I know, cause I saw it in the video when she showed me the video of her or the storeroom. I'm like, yeah, she got one of the you got a door, but you got a big old thing where the tractor trailer bring the snake because it used to be a foot locker. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you know they bring it in by the truckload. Yeah.
Oh, you got the old foot locker store out there.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's up. Okay.
Yep. I'm about to post a video one of my homegirls did today.
Small great mall.
Mm-hmm. No, and I'm fucking up.
I'm always going to hell every time I hear the last year.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
When y'all come and visit me, I need a commercial.
Oh, okay. For which though?
For Kinky Closet.
Oh, so I can be my kinky film.
Mm-hmm. That's what I need.
Ms. Bond, I'm going to need you to say it again. Money Mike, you know how I like it.
What?
Damn.
You know my fetish yet.
Oh, my word.
I got whips and chains, feathers.
Don't say that you'll scare her. We don't want to put Miss Baldy in a whip and chain.
No, no. Mm-mm. Miss Baldy's too old.
I want you to be free.
Too old.
I want you to be free so I can see how you move.
You said what, Mike?
I said I want you to be free so I can see how you move.
Oh, my word.
I'm going to say, I like the way you move. Da, da, da. Okay.
Indeed.
I'll put him back up. Let me put him back in the box.
Who got him started?
Was it me?
Double chocolate.
I ain't do nothing.
No, you know, DJ Sean, actually it was her with that picture she put in the group.
Right, looking all sexy and shit. Just did that.
Mm. All right now. All then y'all gotta do is speak the truth. I'm listening.
All right. Okay.
I gotta listen.
For once it wasn't me.
You what you say about the time machine?
I need a time machine to go back in time when that moment of meeting you could have been very intellectual and conceptual. Yes.
Oh.
flavor.
Oh.
Y'all ain't got nothing better to do than harass people.
All right, I'm going to stop.
He lies.
No, I don't want to. You know, I'm using safe words. When you say harass, I kill. Like, I'm the dude. You tell me no, no means no. And I'll be like, wait,
look,
I didn't mean it like that. But you said no.
Like, hell no.
You say no,
oh,
no. I agree with y'all. No, it means no.
I'm hungry.
Oh. I had a rosemary thought right then.
Oh my God.
What? I ain't doing it, but shaking my motherfucking head. That's all I'm doing. Don't get me started. I'm shaking my damn head.
And it's the one on this line right now.
Bullshit, Nick.
I'm the only innocent one right now.
The lies, motherfucker, people be saying on this radio, boy. Damn, he lied. Lying their asses off.
I'm the innocent one.
I just got out of the...
Girl, I'm still a virgin.
Both you.
Girl, me too.
What?
Me too. You're
going to make
me choke on my crawfish,
yeah? Feel like I'm smoking a blunt and I don't even smoke.
Well,
we can do
this in the group chat. I got to get off here. I got to use the bathroom. I got a meeting
night
in the
night.
Men's room. I'll be there real soon.
Good night, everybody.
Night. Ain't no outro music tonight.
Love y'all. Bye.
My bowels, they loose.